You're listening to Lost at 40, Gopi Chat with Alex Low. The idea of this podcast was envisioned during the circuit breaker in Singapore in April 2020. A good buddy of mine and I were catching up over a Zoom video call about our struggles and aspirations, and we concurred that there must be many other men out there in their 40s being breadwinners with the responsibility of family and also having the duty of elderly to care and worry for. We felt that starting conversations around our ups and downs in our personal and professional journey would be a good platform for others to share and discuss as well. It could be wonderful for other men in similar situations to know that they are not alone and that they either find solutions through our conversations or find some common ground to speak about certain issues and struggles that might be preventing them from optimizing and maximizing their roles as husband, father, and son. I want to break the social norm of what society sees and needs from a man in his 40s, and I want men to be able to identify themselves as unique individuals with heart and that duty of care. In Lost at 40, I will cover the topics of health, caregiving / parenting, career, and retirement. And these will revolve around the pillars of leadership, resilience, and sustainability. If you've liked what you've heard so far, then I invite you to listen on.
Need not necessarily even be an end point, right? Because if it becomes an end point or a destination, then it's not so much of an anchor as it needs to be. Am I right to say that, Tony? So it's not a destination. The purpose is not a destination. The purpose is a constant.
This is season one, episode 1 of 6 with my kopikaki, Tony Leong. The man that I had those initial conversations of struggles and aspirations with, and the man who encouraged me to start Lost at 40. Right, this live chat was actually never intended to be a podcast for mass circulation on multiple platforms, so I have to apologize that there is a good 10 to 15 minutes where my wife and 2-year-old girl are in the background having their own conversation. I promise you that season 2 will be more professionally recorded. Nevertheless, I hope you will enjoy yourselves with Lost at 40, Season 1, Episode 1 of 6.
All right, good morning. Hey, good morning, Tony. We are live. My first time broadcasting live on LinkedIn, so it's quite exciting for me.
Same here. Thank you for the invitation.
Hey, no problem. I think let's do a little bit of introduction of who we are, right? Why we are having this coffee chat or kopi chat called Lost at 40. And then we'll go a little bit into the agenda, right, of what we'll be discussing, not just today, but then in the weeks coming forward, right? So I'm Alex Low. I'm a business and life coach. I also run a wellness business and it focuses on red light therapy. So that's the extent of the work I do. There's quite a lot of information on my profile sharing about my non-linear as well as generalist career. So we can go into that conversation another time, but that's all for now. Tony, maybe you can share a little bit more about what you are doing at the moment.
Right, so I am a director of youth work in an SSA, a social service agency. So what it means that I basically manage the outcomes, the program outcomes of a center, of a youth center. I'm a counselor by training, and I'm now also a doctoral student in psychology. So all this adds up to what I, my passion is about, for children, for you, for the families, in that basis lah. So yeah, we can chat a lot about myself as we go through today's or this week's session about career 40. Lost at 40, you will say.
Lost at 40, yeah. So, I mean, I've known Tony for quite a number of years already. When I was a teacher, this was from 2004 to 2013, Tony was working for a training company and we engaged his services or his company services to help in some student leadership activities and student leadership camps. So that was where we connected and we've kept in touch all this while. So good to know, right, that you've moved from being an employee in a training company. And actually, even before that, you were in the service. You were in the force. You were in the Navy, right?
I was
in the Navy for 4 years, 5 years before leaving.
No, in fact, a lot more than that. I was in the service for 12 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it was those contract and then those 10 year and then plus then 2 more years. And the reason why I left at the point of time was because I was entering a marriage, a life stage like, in that sense. And there was a rumor then that people in the Navy at that point of time didn't have good marriages during those times, because the wives will always complain the men will always be sailing, how sailors are, kind of myth kind of thing. And then and I was getting worried. I was entering a marriagehood, so I wasn't prepared to be a divorce statistics. So I left and do more of children's behavior and human behavior work.
Nice, right? And then, you know, from then you've moved on to do your own thing. You know, you are now pursuing a doctorate in psychology. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So let's go into some background, right, on how we came out with this topic, I Lost at 40. I'll leave you to share that, Tony.
Okay. Yeah. So it was like, so Alex was saying that, so we know each other for quite some time, and then it's very seldom that I think, like, I see myself as a vendor, I see him as a client. Very, very seldom that client and vendor could have clicked at the point where we go into know each other's personal lives. You know, I knew him when even before he was married, and then now I have a kid, beautiful kid of our 2-year-old, and he knows my life, he knows my struggles, right? So as I was going through a part of my phase during these few years that I was struggling with, I spoke to him, and then he was also giving me some advice. So I said, hey, I think we went through quite a bit. Why not just also share our experiences? I'm sure there are people who are like-minded, who are like, especially in this particular period of COVID-19 pandemic, who probably has similar experiences, right? So career-wise affected, family-wise probably also some struggles that could be similar to ours. Let's share it and see where can this lead us to.
Yep. So it actually took a little bit of time for us to come up with what would be relevant to people our age, yeah. Right? In our 40s, I'm 41, Tony, you are 44. Yeah, so still considered early 40s, and we've got young children, we've got people that our parents, our in-laws that require caregiving. And we are also at a stage where I guess some would call it a midlife crisis, right? So at a point in time where you might want to be trying something different in your life, either by choice or by no choice, right? Because you've been laid off. But, you know, what is it that you want to be doing? But at the same time, there are responsibilities that you need to have, right? You know, family, parents, and you need to think about your career in the long term. At the same time, you also need to think about retirement, right? So career long term, and when I talk about retirement, I don't just mean sit down, shake leg and drink OP, do nothing, right? You know, it's also our children's education, right? Yeah. How would we have planned for them to be going through university, and at which point would they be financially able to be taking care of them? And at any point, you know, will they be still living in the house? I mean, as Asian families in Singapore, I think very, very often, you know, we're living with our parents until our 30s, even 40s, until we get married. You know, and if we don't get married, there will be opportunity for us to maybe rent a space outside, or even buy a space outside to be
That's
our
right.
own, right? So very right. different paths, different routes that we need to take. But at the end of the day, what is our purpose, right? What are we here to do at this current life stage that we are at? I think that's something that we will be talking about. And how do we come to that? I think that is also something important. And, you know, I'll be sharing my experiences. Tony will be sharing his experiences. And I think it is through these sharing of experiences and sharing of stories that we hope, right, that there are people out there that would maybe have similar situations, and they would say, hey, you know, let me reach out to Alex or Tony, and we can have a longer chat, and maybe we might be able to, you know, help you seek some clarity, seek some direction, and put you on the right path towards where you feel you need to be headed. So that's why we were doing this. I was having a conversation, Tony, with a friend last week, because I was excited and telling him that, hey, you know, I'm starting this Lost at 40 on Sunday. And then he said, hey, that's very good, you know, because your focus is on men, right? And there's very little focus out there for men, or for men by men, right? And there are actually a lot of men out there that don't even know that they are in distress or in duress, right? And possibly, you know, by hearing about what we're talking about, they might want to be seeking, I wouldn't say seeking help, right? We are not, okay, you're an expert, you know, you're a psychotherapist, you're a counselor, but, you know, seeking help in a sense of finding direction and clarity, right? Not feeling lost, which is why we came up with this topic of lost at 40, because we felt that we've never been as lost as we are in our life, maybe, because at this point, there's so many, just so many responsibilities and so many things that we need to be considering. Maybe when we hit our 50s, we will do something lost at 50, but when that time comes, then we will see, right? So a little bit about the agenda, right? So this is week one, and we're hoping for this to continue for maybe 7 or 8 weeks. And with each week, we will be covering different topics. So lost at 40 is the big theme. And there are four subtopics to this theme. The first of all, we'll be talking about is health, right? So what does health mean to us, and how do we work on health, and what are the different aspects or areas of health that could possibly help us at this point in our lives, right? Not just at this point, but moving forward. So health is the big topic. The next topic is career, right? So where are we at this current point in time? Are we financially independent, you know, and how do we continue to be financially independent all through retirement? So into retirement is another big topic. So there's health, there is a career, there's retirement, and there is also one topic on caregiving. So we've lumped together parenting as well as caring for elders as caregiving. So I think this is something that would resonate with many people, you know, how you juggle the different roles, and, you know, whether you're living with your parents or in-laws or you're not, you know, how do you juggle those roles as well. So three big topics. We will save some time for a session probably on Q&A. We're not really sure how this is going to pan out, how many people will actually be engaged and watching, but let's see how it goes, right? We could even have people coming on as guest speakers. So I had some comments on my post when I posted on Friday, actually. And you said, is this only for men? You know, can women come and listen as well? Of course, you know, surely, right? Because at lost at 40 definitely means not just the guys, but the ladies as well. And when I put that post up and I said men, it's because, you know, it's two guys talking about their experiences, so it might not be so relevant to the lady, whether it's a mother or a lady that's in the 40s, but you could be in your 30s as well, and you might already be experiencing some of these struggles and issues. So really it's for everybody, anybody, and that feels that whatever we are speaking about is relevant to your life at this point, right? So without further ado, I think we will go straight into today's session, right? Today's session is going to be on a summary, right, of what I just talked about, the four main topics, and we will also be discussing the three pillars that we will be using to guide our decision making. And to guide our conversation, right? So the Tony, maybe you can share a little bit about the three pillars, and then we can just go from there.
Okay, so Alex was mentioning, right, so when we're discussing about this topic, like what guided us in some of the decisions that we made at the different junctures for the past 4 years. The career, about taking care of our parents, about our dependents, our spouses, our children. So we were discussing, and I said, hey, I think those things that we do and how we make those things come true to where we are right now, right, seems to fall into these three themes of leadership, resilience, and how to sustain it, right? So leadership in how, you know, Alex has been a teacher when I knew him, taking care of leadership, our work in the JC, and we spent a lot of time doing some exploration of the leadership concepts. And he is also, as is what he say now, he's a coach now. So, and he's familiar with some of the concepts of leadership that we use in our vision making process. I said we could share that because this also guided us in some of the things that we do, whether how much of our personal awareness leads to our personal choices and things like that, right? So leadership is one main, one topic or one pillar itself. Now, resilience, the second pillar, is more of, so how we define resilience is like, every time that something hits or we encounter a roadblock, right, it's about how many times we come back up again. All right, hit us 5 times, we come back the 6th time. Hit us 9 times, we come back 10 times. So it's about that tenacity of coming back, and it's, for myself especially, right, it's pretty a very relevant concept and a pillar, because many times I will say, hey, let's do something that is easy for myself, that brings a bread and butter back and leave passion aside. But thankfully, that those are times where I check in with Alex and check in with my friends who reminded me that, hey, I think there's a lot more you can do, more than just taking the easy way out of something that comes along, right? So it tested my resilience, tested a lot by how I pursue something that's more relevant for the work that I do. So that's the second pillar, right? Sustainability is a third pillar. So I was also discussing with Alex, right? So as much as we do what we do right now, how much can we, like what Alex say, right? Working towards retirement, where we can take care of the people who really care about, the loved ones, our parents, who are staying with us, and how do we prepare us for ourselves as well as for them? How do we sustain what we do and how we do it? All right, so that's what these three pillars, I think, that could be widely relevant to the people that we're speaking with in this particular context.
Yeah, I just want to add a little bit to Tony's point on resilience, right? So I did some research, and you know, there's also quite a lot of research out there on resilience and mental toughness. And I actually wrote an article on resilience and mental toughness. This was a couple of months back. But being resilient really is to not back down every time that you are faced with a challenge or a problem, right? So not giving up, facing the challenge head on and coming out of that difficult time. It could be one day, it could be 1 week, it could be 1 year or whatever, right? So we are all being resilient at this moment because we are in a pandemic and we are all having our livelihoods affected, and you know, some people worse than others, but it's really about the mindset, right? So what is the mindset you have and having that resilient spirit? But mental toughness, right, that is almost like one level up. So what are you doing from these challenges and adversities, and what are you learning from this experience and coming out positive from this period of resilience? Meaning you level up because of this period of resilience. And that is what mental toughness is all about. And I think that this is something that we want to try to let people know about. We want to educate, we want to imbue. And there are ways, you know, that you can train your resilience such that you can adopt this sort of positivity and have that confidence to level up, you know, to have that mental toughness so that you can take everything that you've learned and, you know, be a better person after that, right? And looking back at it, things, and saying that, oh man, that year was bad, or that period, or that incident, or that situation or circumstance was terrible, but you know, I'm a better person now and let's go forward and do more things, right? So yeah, that's a little bit to add on resilience. For the part on sustainability, I guess it's understanding the support structures that are required also with you know, whether it's a spouse or whether it's friends, whether it's, you know, people like Tony that I have the opportunity and privilege to speak to on a regular basis. So it's like we're coaching each other on a regular basis and understanding how we are faring and what we could be doing with the next steps. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about purpose, right? Because I think our purpose is I'll share a bit more first, my understanding, right? Then Tony, I'll let share your piece, right? So purpose essentially is your compass, right? Where you're headed in life. It's your North Star. Some people call it your North Star. Simon Sinek wrote about what's your why. There are many other people that also define it very differently, right? Why do you wake up in the morning? What you're excited to go about doing on a day-to-day basis, and what is that internal drive, you know, that gets you to do what you need to be doing. So that is my definition of purpose. I've actually had different ways of understanding my purpose in my different life stages. And yeah, Tony, maybe you can share a little bit about what purpose means to you.
I concur to what I just shared about purpose. I think there were times where during these phases, I asked myself, so between passion and priority, between purpose and priority, purpose is like what you mentioned, the sense of why, right? That's also, I think there was one time you asked me about, hey, what are some of the things that drives what I do? So I'm also a fan of this particular author, Simon Sinek. Right, so the whole concept of human decision making, so like you mentioned, I'm a human behaviorist, right? So I study systems, I study how human interact in a particular environment and how the environment affects a lot of our decision making process. Systems refers to the ecological perspective of things, right? So it includes things like family, the work, the colleagues, the community that we stay in, our children, our hobbies, the faith, the religion, every single thing that has an effect. So in this concept, we call it the person in the environment, right? So as a person in this environment, how do we decide how to fit our existential reasons for participating in this kind of environment? So I don't know whether it's for good or for bad. So as I begin to discover more, as what Alex said, as you begin to research more, and we're going to know more, right? It's very hard to go back to the very fundamental of just do what I do, and I know that we can never be satisfied with that, right? So therefore, finding the reasons, finding the purpose why behind what we do is something I would think is very crucial for us, because we know we won't just live life the way as life will bring us through. Like we don't normally flow with it. We do something about it. And also that's the reason why Alex also now pursue what he does, and I hope he can share a bit more later. Because he has pretty diverse career path. And as much as mine is, but I would think mine is a pretty streamlined, which is pretty like on track from where I was as a land navy some years back. And I saw Alex, and it's pretty inspirational, because how Alex was when he was a teacher and now he became a coach, although both are educational purposes. But the how he reaches to this path is something that I really want to learn more about. So it drives the purpose of what he believes in for myself, the work I'm doing now. People ask me, Tony, your work is pretty niche. You work with children, you work with youth at risk, you work with families, vulnerable families. And recently I've been approached about understanding more about families in transition, family in a family violence situation. So I wouldn't have thought that this would be something that I would pursue more in probably, you say, 12, 20 years back, maybe. I was in Navy then, and I did not pursue this. I did not think of pursuing this because at the point of time, I was in a very comfortable position. A position where I thought I would stay on and then do the work that is bringing me a lot of comfortability and sustainability for my family. But because of what I believe about what I want to do for my children, and at the point of time it was really about understanding that there's more that I can do because of what I know. Therefore, I went out and I do more with children, youth at risk initially, and then leadership training with the students, and then after that I began to work more on the systems of the children with the family, the schools and the community. Then I began to see and open my eyes a bit more to how people really interact and behave because of how the systems work with them. And that drives a lot of my purpose and the reason why I do what I do now.
Mm. Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's very apt that you mentioned that, you know, you never knew when you were in Navy that you would be where you are right now doing what you're doing, right? Pursuing a doctorate. I mean, similarly, back, rewind 15 years back when I first started, you know, I never knew that, you know, this would be what I'm doing. But I think it's the life experiences that we gather along the way, the good and the bad, that actually determine our purpose, you know, because it shapes how we see things and it shapes how we want to be seeing ourselves as we move forward in life. And I don't think there is a right and wrong answer as well, right? Different people could be having a different purpose at a different life stage, and depends on what you see as your purpose. And as long as you know that that is your purpose, you work towards why you're doing what you're doing, right? So that is how I see purpose as. And, you know, it wasn't easy for me to find my purpose at this point. I dare say that I've never been happier, right? I'm in my 40s, you know. I'm earning 50% less than I earned when, you know, I was a teacher. Even though I've got more liabilities, right? But I've never been happier, right? Because I found my purpose, right? And, you know, there were times, you know, when I was employed. So I've been in education. I was a teacher for 8 years. Even before that, I was playing water polo professionally for 2 years. And then I was in real estate management. I was a project manager in Bangkok. I was in hospitality for 4 years. I was general manager of a boutique chain. And then came out to do my own business. I was in events management. I did that for 1 year, most terrible time of my life. with problems with partnership, yeah, and the business. And then I joined a sort of like a family type business. Did that for 1.5 years. Not really the kind of thing that I wanted, but still in a management, you know, role. And then coming out to do my own thing, 1.5 years with red light therapy and wellness. And of course, COVID hit, and all plans to expand the business with our franchise model into the region was totally shelved, right? So that is shelved indefinitely. And that's where I decided to pivot, right? And do what I really love and what I really like, which is coaching. And so far it's been quite amazing, you know, with this journey. So it's how we deal with the ups and downs and whatever that, you know, life throws at you, and you ideate and you are agile enough to change along the way, right? So that's so my purpose, really. If I had to summarize it in a single sentence, is to help people, right? I want to help people very specifically in achieving success and finding fruitful solutions to problems or issues that they have. Right. So, and the only way to be doing this is through identifying clarity and identifying purpose. Because I want people to be happy doing what they're doing, like me, even though they might be earning 50% less than they might be earning. Right. So with that internal motivation and with that internal drive, you will be able to lead a more fulfilled life. And all this leads on to our four topics, right? With that happiness that you have, with that fulfilled life that you have, how are you going to then carve your health, carve your career, carve your retirement, and carve the caregiving as well, which includes parenting and looking after elders, right? So that would be my definition of my purpose. What would be your definition of your purpose, Tony?
I think, like I said, how I define purpose is very relevant to the things I care for, the things I care for in my life. So, like, I would think that you also resonate with that. As a father, for myself, as a father of two, and with the amount of time that I spend with children in the work that I do, right? I think the purpose in my life is having the younger generation reach out to people, reach out to the people around them, care for the community, and care for also take care of themselves. And I love to see that happening in a wider sense, because as I see my children growing up, I want them to have be in a space where they're able to contribute to people, they're able to be able to reach out to people, as well as at the same time having the skills to take care of themselves. So I think this sort of drives me, because I will see a live example of what I do outside in my career, right, happening also in at home. Then this congruency matches. Then I no longer know that, hey, what I do outside and how am I at home, right, are two different perspective. So that the purpose of what I do is congruency. The purpose of what I do is having to have the people that I love and care for, the people at home, the people and family, be connected to what I do with the people in my daily life, the students that I train, the community that I contribute to, the families that come and see me in my center. Yeah, so that's my purpose equals the congruency of what I do daily.
Wow, nice. Yeah, and I think, very apt that you brought in family, because for me, my purpose was really defined by the birth of my child. So it's been 2 years since I've been out on my own, and really, the reason why I decided to come out on my own to do my own thing, even before COVID hit, was because I wanted to spend time with my newborn and witness all the first moments, right? The first word, you know, the first steps, you know, the first time she falls, I want to be there, the first time she cries or whatever, right? So, and I've managed to witness all that because, you know, I'm essentially in control of my own time. And right now, I plan my time and appointments with, whether it's clients or coaching calls, around the time that I want to be able to feed her, to change her, to bathe her, you know, to put her to bed. So everything revolves around the family, everything revolves around the child. And, you know, we'll be putting her to school in January next year. So, you know, wow. She'll be going for daycare, and that will free up a little bit more time for myself and my wife to actually be doing our own things, right? Whether it's for personal, whether it's for work. So yeah, that really, really, really was the reason why I came up to do my own thing. And that was my purpose, right? Not so helping people, but with the mind, or with in mind that that I have more time and will be having more time to spend with family. Yeah, and did we miss out on anything for the purpose, right, Tony?
I think for me that's about it, because it's actually what I think if we summarize, right, so both our purpose navigates what we are doing now. Like what you mentioned in the beginning, right, the compass, the North Star of what that guides us in what we are doing. And for me, that particular purpose, the definition, guided me when I was slightly off tangent, off track, and slightly lost. Right. So therefore, I think that's a very apt definition of what we just shared.
If someone were to, you know, want to try to say, okay, how, if I want to write things down, you know, and yeah, I want to define my own purpose, what would be some steps that we can help him or her identify his purpose?
Okay, so I think before you answer that, I also want to for myself an advice for, I don't know whether it's advice for others, or I share a bit of at the point of time when I was finding a purpose, right? The other component of the thought process was also being practical. Like the basic livelihood. Does my purpose is able to find money for myself and my family? So it's very practical decision making, or a step that we need to think about. So before we can answer whether the steps towards having clarity of purpose, right, at the point in time, I really need to decide, is there a possibility where practicability and purpose can fit in on a slightly balanced, I wouldn't say equilibrium, but more of a balance, right? So is there a way where finding a way to support myself, my family, the things that I do towards that, is able to also find some meaning to what I truly wish that I could do. And if that's possible, right, then of course the purpose of what I do will roughly fit into what I would find to support my livelihood. Some of the people that I think I spoke with, or at least for myself, I would think, right, that it is pretty easy for us to find something to do, and find something to, probably if it's career wise, find a work that supports fairly enough for myself and my family. But is that the reason why, I would say in the question of such extension, right, is the reason why I survive for? Is the reason why I live for? No, at the end of the day, when I retire at a certain time, at the time where I have my grandchildren, would I have said that I have actually lived a life of purposefulness, and I have lived a life of having lived my dreams? Now, I would think that at the point of time, right, especially given in this particular situation, like pandemic and COVID-19, right? Like, it's not just about the dreams of what we have when we're younger, or the dreams of what we have when we are living a life of our inspiration. I realize, right, purpose is also about doing what I do at a part of time so that my livelihood of the people that I care for is protected. And remember, to both of us, our common narrative is family. So we need to find a particular anchor. I would want to find a particular anchor. Purpose is an anchor that guided me, the decision that I make, regardless of situation that comes along. So I ask myself, right, if I were to go into a lower paid job, Alex, you said you did, right? I will say I did. And let's say I go into a career because of whatever that happened, and I could not find something that could fit into what I wish that I could pay for. But am I being responsible to my family? Am I being responsible to the people I care for, or to community I care for if I am? And are the people that I care for and prefer in my life, in my ecosystem, helping, or I would say not helping, but supporting me in my vision? I would say yes. Then that particular thing, that particular narrative from the purpose. So I would define purpose as the support systems around me that allows me to guide me in the decision-making process. For me, it was family. For Alex, I would think so as well. So for others, I would advocate that the purpose in the lives that you do, right, will be have to focus on the particular anchor that guided you when things don't go the way you want it.
Yeah, and I think that's a very, very, very good explanation, right, Tony? Because if you ask yourself those questions, like, if you're in a job or if you're doing a particular something and you ask yourself those questions, does this, am I happy, right? I think that's one of the questions that you can help to define whether or not you are living the purpose that you feel is right for yourself. And the other thing is identifying that anchor such that wherever you go, this is the constant that doesn't change, right? It could be in another country. It could be a different salary. It could be a change of environment entirely, whatever the title, whatever the role. But this anchor, as long as this anchor stays, then you have that happiness, you have that balance, and you are able to continue doing what you're doing for the long run. So that these are some situations and circumstances that can, I guess, help anybody out there define whether or not he is living and serving his purpose. And also very, very appropriate for you to talk about responsibilities, because a lot of the time, there might be some people that might be a bit over the top. Oh, my purpose is to be a ski instructor in the mountains in Europe and run my own hotel there, right? So that's my life purpose. But if this individual has responsibilities in Singapore, then, you know, something like that would not be possible, right? So I think the purpose need not necessarily even be an end point, right? Because if it becomes an end point or a destination, then it's not so much of an anchor as it needs to be. Am I right to say that, Tony? So it's not a destination. The purpose is not a destination. The purpose is a constant.
Totally agree. Yeah. So, I also add on that it's not just a constant, and it may not be a physical constant.
Mm.
Or it may not be a constant that you could touch and feel at this point in time or now. Why I say that is also because of late, at least for the past few months, I have also have seen families or have worked with families who have been going through grief and loss and bereavement. So just imagine, right, this pandemic, this COVID-19, loss of employment, and then at the same time, they also lost, example, people that they love, right? So, and the people that they love are, at the point of time, they're constant in their lives. So then they are so, and I went through the same process with them, and I told them a similar thing, that what will be the constant in your life tells you about what you're going to do, what kind of decision you're going to make. Then the response from them was only the constant, which is a family member, is longer around, right? So with that, how do I even know? So at the point of time, so and we had I had a discussion with the family, the particular person. I said, yes, logically and right now, right, I mean, practically, there's a loss that's going through. Both, and in fact, two losses. One is loss of a family member. The other one is a loss of whatever that we have been through, job and employment. And most of us in this particular age, right, will see a job as an identity. A job makes us who we are. And because of COVID-19 and pandemic, right, and as much as I would like to blame it on it, but of course I know that as much as economic status, economic processes come through in a cycle, sometimes this will come along as well. So I mean that particular person we spoke about, I say like, even if the person is not around upon time right now, right, what could do you think the person could have said, could have guided you when both of you were speaking? And what kind of purpose has this person given you? Because it seems like this person has given you a lot of influences, and because of the loss of this person, right, it has sort of impacted you a big deal, right? So I want to remind ourselves that sometimes the purpose, the constant, may not be physically there with us. It could be my grandparents who I have a lot of respect for, and the way how they live lives, and I'll probably has a lot of influence from them already. Especially my grandfather, a very tenacious person who, when he was apprentice in his own engineering firm, right, survived World War II, and the kind of tenacity he has that he brought to us, as well as I use that as an anchor for my children now, and they see his work. So my grandfather's work now is in a particular place in my house in the cabinet, and my children ask me, Daddy, who is this particular person when you were very young? So I said, this is your great grandfather, this is work, and he's an artifact there. So and is he a concern to me? I would think say yes, it is. As Alex brought these things about purpose in life in this conversation, it also reminded me about, hey, besides my family, it also tells on me that my grandfather is also an anchor to me for a lot of part of my life because of the way how he approached things and the way how he approaches marriages.
Yeah, I think that for sure it takes a very, very, what's the word I would say? If parents or grandparents or great-grandparents have that sort of constant or effect in our lives, it's definitely a lot more powerful because there is that familiarity, there's also that association with, you know, so-and-so in the family line did that, and, you know, we are like following, you know, whatever that has already been set up for us. So yeah, I think that definitely, you know, is very, very something that we can set as a North Star as well as a compass. Yeah, and I think today's the first session, so I think we don't need to make it too long, right, Tony? I think it's been very nice chatting about, you know, purpose, defining purpose, what it means for me, what it means for you. Hopefully, some of the things that we talked about would spark some thought in others and get them to think a little bit more about, you know, defining their purpose and that constant that they have, which may or may not be tangible. And making a decision that they need to make at this point in time, such that they not just can be following up with responsibilities that they have in their lives, but also to ask themselves the questions, are they happy? Do they see this as sustainable? And if everything else changes, would they still continue doing what they're doing? I think these are some helping questions, right? Or guiding questions that would help somebody define what's his purpose. And before we end, I think maybe we can also talk a little bit about, so having a purpose is our why, right? What we're doing, you know, then what then is the how, and what then is the what? Are these important for us to be thinking about and for us to be considering this? One thing that I that helped me decide and think about or to start the conversation was really, what am I good at doing, right? some people will say, okay, what are my strengths? But your strengths need not necessarily be the same as what you like to do, right? So yes, you might be strong at doing something, but you might not like to do that, right? But if you like to do something, naturally you would be better at doing it anyway, right? So there's a distinction that we draw there. But that was one of the things that got me thinking and got started me writing things down. So throughout my 15-year career, even before I started my career, what are the things that I've liked doing? What are the things that I have been good at doing that people have said, hey, Alex, you are good at doing this. You should do more of this, right? So having self-awareness is good because you think you know what you're good at. You obviously know what you like to do. But at the same time, having a third person or a fourth person perspective on what you have been good at doing or what you are good at doing is also important, right? And I think having that as a base for those who cannot even fathom, you know, how do I think of my purpose, right? This could be another way of identifying. So working backwards a bit, right? So this would be the how, to a certain extent, you know, these things that you've been doing all this while, you know, and distill from that, what are the things that you like doing? What are the things that you've been good at doing? And then from there, you possible to carve, you know, the purpose from there. Would you say this is another way of defining purpose or identifying purpose?
Yeah, I would think so. And in some other languages, right, they say as the way of doing or the mechanics of it and mapping into the way of being, the values part of it, like exactly what you just said. Yeah, so it's the things that are good at, and finding your competencies and having it mapped towards the things that you're passionate about. Yeah, so that could be, yeah.
Yeah, and I think from there that you can mesh together the what and the how, and the why, and then the how, and then the what would come in play after that, right? So the what would be the specific things that you can be doing after you've been put in that position, or you know, after you've put yourself in that position to define or carve the purpose, right, that fuels the decision making for your life. So I think maybe we can end off with that. Hopefully sufficient information for people to think about, and just let's see. Yeah, anything else to add, Tony?
No, I think we have. I would think that in conclusion, we have let a group of us who are listening having some ideas about finding a purpose. We both of us, me and Alex, may not have given probably a lot of concrete examples of how it looks like, but I think Alex has given us some ideas about how we can find towards a purpose. And I'm not seeing comments here, but I hope that in the next few weeks, as we begin to dwell on this topic, that this could probably spark some of the thoughts that people could now have. Hey, so how do I go around finding my purpose? And we love to have conversations, if it's possible, in the next few weeks, and see how does these few questions spark some of the things that some of us here could have been putting off because of what we are doing. And now that we have some thoughts from Alex and myself, the discussion, this could now prompt you to think about the things you are good at, the what and the how and the why of things, towards probably a career part of your life, or probably towards a relationship part of your life. All right, so hopefully the next few weeks to come, we could see more of some of these comments of people coming to share with us of their thoughts.
Yeah, and I think that there are many people, I'm surprised that I've spoken to, that have not identified their purpose and they don't know their purpose. And hopefully, right, there are more people that can identify their purpose, can know their purpose, because then it sets them on this path of happiness that it's really, really fulfillment. I mean, I cannot explain it, but you want to get there. My wish is for more people to be able to be happy doing what they're doing because they found their purpose. And really, it's for the longevity or whatever that we are all doing. Yeah, so I've had young people in their 20s, right, who realize that what they studied is not what they like, and they don't want, they feel inadequate and terrible in the role that they are in, right? In their career, and you know, how do they step out of it? So that's where identifying purpose comes in. There needs to be an entire self-awareness evaluation to be able to get on the life crisis where they've been working for a while already and they realize that they don't exist just to be doing that, which is good, right? And there are people in their late 30s, early 40s, people like you and me, who realize that, hey, you know, I spend my life, you know, in the same job or in the same industry or vertical for the past 10, 15, 20 years, and I don't think this is how I want to spend my life, right? So that is a bit of a midlife crisis, but that's also where identifying purpose and seeking clarity would set them on that path of happiness, right? And yeah, I mean, there are lots of other examples and instances of people that I've spoken to, and very happy to see if I can do the same for anybody else right now. So we will chat again. I think Sunday is a good time for us, actually. 8 a.m., you know, I go for my morning swim, you know, I pop my laundry in, you know, and I actually hang my... Okay, today I didn't hang my laundry before the conversation because the dark clouds looked a bit imminent. But yeah, so I like this time. Is this time good for you, Tony?
Yeah, it's good.
Good, right? And then we start the day, I mean, we end the session by 9 o'clock, you know, we can go have breakfast with the family or, you know, go and do whatever we need to do.
Yep.
All right, so that's it for today, everyone. We will catch you again next week on Sunday, 8 a.m. GMT plus 8, so Singapore time.
I hope you enjoyed Lost at 40, Season 1, Episode 1 of 6 with my Kopika K, Tony Leong. If you have any suggestions of guests who are relevant to the topics of discussion on health, parenting and caregiving, career as well as retirement, please email me at alexlow@aviaryandco.com. I would love to get in touch with anyone who would be able to contribute to the conversations we are having on Lost at 40 to allow more men to be empowered and feel less lost at 40. For more information about me, there's a link in the description that will direct you to other podcasts that I've done, my social channels and company website. Thank you once again for listening, and I will catch you again very soon.